Thanks, Alan, for bringing us Titus chapter 1. Well, I'm going to start this morning by talking about a career path that has emerged over the past 10 to 15 years. And it's a career path that some of you may not have been aware. If our youth were here today, they would know exactly what I'm going to be talking about. But it's a career path that wasn't around 10 to 15 years ago, and it's emerged and grown out of the popular culture or the juggernaut of social media. And this particular career path has made a lot of people very, very wealthy for doing not really much at all, to be honest. And you don't need a degree, you don't need work experience to do this or take this career path. It's a career path, again, that, as I said, was birthed out of the juggernaut of social media. And that career path is one of an influencer, social media influencer. You may have heard of it. All you really need is access to social media and a lot of creativity, and you can make yourself very, very wealthy by being a social media influencer. For those who may not have heard of this job before, a social media influencer, according to the Marketing Hub, is basically someone who has the power to affect the purchase of decisions or the purchasing decisions of others because of his, her authority, knowledge, position, or relationship with his or her audience. Basically, if you've got a lot of followers on Instagram, a lot of friends on Facebook, companies will pay you thousands and thousands of dollars simply to post a photo on your Instagram or social media pages promoting or marketing a product. So you could take a photo of a pair of shoes on Instagram, put it up there, and you could make $50,000 to $50,000 just from that post alone. It's absurd, isn't it, how much money you can make. And this notion of an influencer actually goes to the heart of what we're going to be speaking about here today. This notion of an influencer and a leader, these people on social media have influence across society, and they use their position of influence to ultimately make money. We want to be using our influence and our position within society for the greater good. Amen. Because believe it or not, or know it or not, every single one of us here today, if you're a follower of Jesus, are called to be influencers, are called to be leaders. And some of us may have smaller amounts of influence than others. Obviously, we don't get paid to post a photo of the shoes that we wear or the type of jacket that we like to wear. But each and every one of us here today have influence. Amen. Every single one of us here today are called to lead, and it goes to the heart of what we're going to speak about today as we launch this series in the book of Titus. Every single person who calls themselves a follower of Jesus, whether they're a mum who influences their children, mum or dad who influences their children, a parent, or whether you have a career where you have colleagues at work, which I'm guessing most of us do, every single one of us here is called to influence and lead people in the direction of Jesus Christ. There are many definitions of leadership, many thoughts and opinions out there about what true leadership is, but here are some definitions of leadership, because this is where we're going to head today in the book of Titus. The book of Titus is very much a book about leadership and leadership within Christ's church. Here's some definitions that I came across this week that spoke to me. Take this quote by Robert Clinton that says, "Leadership is a dynamic process in which a man or a woman will, with God-given capacity, influences a specific group of God's people towards his purposes for the group." This quote by John Maxwell, who some would say would be an expert in this field, says, "Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less." What's the key word in each of those quotes? Influence. Every other quote that I came across, the majority of the quotes spoke about in some way or another leadership being all about influence. And if we take the simple dictionary quote of, or dictionary definition of influence, it says the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. So if we are to translate that into our mandate and our calling as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, is that not what we are called to do? To affect people in the way of Jesus, to encourage them to go down the path, to change their behaviors, their character in line with that of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us here are called to lead, are called to influence. We are all influencers. We are all leaders, and obviously some are called to higher positions of leadership and influence than others, but we are all followers, as followers of Jesus, are called to become leaders and influencers in our society, this world, ultimately in the lives of others. And this is a big part, again, of the ultimate purpose of the book of Titus, which we're going to be diving into in the next couple of weeks. The book of Titus was written by the Apostle Paul, and it's one part of the pastoral epistles. The pastoral epistles are made up of 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus because they are written to one particular person, a leader within Christ's church, Timothy and Titus, both sent by the Apostle Paul, missionaries of God. In this particular context, Titus is sent to the small Greek island of Crete. And they are called the pastoral epistles, again, because they're not written to one particular group of people or a church. They're written to one individual, a leader to another leader, to encourage them to multiply leaders ultimately in Christ's church. So this book of Titus, it goes into the realms of leadership, it goes into the realms of ordered church governance, but it also speaks into the areas of godly behavior and good works, which we're going to unpack in the next couple of weeks. But this gig that Titus had, to lead the people of Crete, to lead the church within the Greek island, the community of Crete, he had a big task on his hand. He had a very much an uphill battle because the people of Crete were very well known for their depraved nature, their depraved character. They were easily given over to their lustful passions and desires. So Titus had an uphill battle trying to call God's people to align themselves with the postures and the way of life of Jesus Christ. But if we go to the opening stanza, as Alan read out to us, the stanza where Paul greets Titus, I believe this is crucial to this passage and what we're going to talk about today, the undertaking of being an influencer, a leader in God's church. If we go to that opening stanza again, he speaks of his apostolic credentials, how he can be truly called an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he speaks of the knowledge of truth that leads to godliness. Here's what he says again in verse 1 to 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Again, he's speaking in terms of his apostolic credentials, being an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he's speaking to all of us, I believe, in the sense of this word, the knowledge that leads to godliness. This applies to each and every one of us today. We need to obtain the knowledge of truth that leads or that drives us, mobilizes us into the realms of godly living or Christ-like living, for that is where our true influence lies. Amen. If we are to truly lead people to become purpose-filled disciples of Jesus, if we are to lead people in the direction of Him, of Jesus Christ, our influence is dictated by our behaviors, our character, our way of life. And to obtain Christ-like character, godly living, it's all about obtaining a knowledge of truth. For it is ultimately the knowledge of truth that leads to Christ-like living. Again, we will fail to have any impact, any influence in this world if our character, if our behaviors aren't aligned with that of Christ. And this comes back to, again, that sound or that true knowledge of truth. We need to understand true doctrine, true theology, so that we can have this kind of impact. And this is very much where we feel our leadership team are feeling led to, or letting God lead us into 2021 in the realms of understanding church doctrine, church theology, having a sound knowledge of truth so that it can mobilize us into Christ-like living and Christ-like character. That's part of where we're going to be heading this year. And here in this passage, as Alan read out, we're given qualities of those who are to, if they are to serve in a position of leadership within Christ's church, then they need to have these kind of qualities. They need to embrace this kind of life, these postures for life. And it's a lesson for us as a church that when we are seeking to identify people within our midst to lead us. When we're seeking to identify and discern God's voice into those who are to become leaders within this church, these are the qualities. This is the way of life that we need to be able to see them living out. And it's also a key theme within the book of Titus, because the people, as I said, of Crete were depraved in nature. They were easily given over to their lustful desires and passions. And so this is the task that Titus has. And for those within leadership positions currently in our church, are these the qualities that you are growing in? Are these areas of your life that you can say, I have not mastered it yet, but I'm heading in the right direction? I'm seeking to embrace these postures, these ways of life. Verse 5 to 9 also reveals to us the importance of having structure, having an orderly governance structure within the life of our church as well. But I find that we can often look at these passages, some of us, and say, well, it's about leadership, it's about eldership, it's about positions of influence and leadership within the church. I don't feel called to that right now. I don't feel this applies to me, so I'm just going to switch off. But I would be saying that you are unwise to do that if that's the case. You would be wrong to jump to that conclusion, because the role of a leader in Christ's church is to be ultimately a role model, amen? The role of a leader is to model maturity, Christ-like maturity and character, modeling the way of life that God has called us to live out and embrace. And all of these characteristics that Paul lists, being blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given over to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain, these are virtues in a way of life that not just leaders should be seeking to embrace, but all of us, amen? Every single one of us. This is the way of life that, yes, leaders are to model and to have if they are to come into a position of leadership, but this is the way of life that we all should be seeking to pursue. And as we take a glimpse of this role description, if you will, the requirements of an elder or leader within Christ's church, we see the kind of person that Jesus is calling us to become. And in fact, the kind of person, the character that Jesus himself embraced when he walked this earth. When Jesus himself exemplified to us in the most perfect way. The kind of influence that we are to have, if we are to lead people into the way of Christ, this is the way of life that we need to embrace as well. So are you overbearing? Do you like to get your own way and you'll force the issue until you get your own way? Are you quick to be getting angry even in the small things? This is, if I am to be transparent and honest, something I've had to work on in my life, particularly with young children. So easy to start getting the rage, feeling it coming forward, and you just want to unleash. I've had to learn to practice self-control, to contain that anger, to contain that frustration. Do you find it hard to stop drinking when you get going? The moment you have a drink, is it just automatic that you're going to get drunk? Are you a violent person? Again, if we live like this, our influence will be negative, amen? We will not have the positive influence. We will not be leading people in the direction of Christ. No, the people who are hospitable, those who open their lives and their homes up to people, even those in need, those who love what is good, do what is good, those who are self-controlled, those who are able to stand their ground when the temptations come, these are the people that are going to lead and influence in a positive way, in a positive direction. These are the people who are going to have the most influence in our society and in our worlds. For Christ-like living ultimately leads to true kingdom impact and true kingdom influence. Christ-like living leads to true kingdom impact. But it is, as Paul says once again, he reminds us, only if we hold firmly to the trustworthy message that has been taught, so that we can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Now, one of the greatest examples I keep coming back to in my life of someone who's had influence in their workplace, for instance, is a guy I served alongside in youth leadership in my previous role. He's one of the church leaders. His name was Cameron. And I remember this story so vividly. It always comes to mind when I speak of having influence in any capacity. And that was, hey boys, coming down the front. And that was, Cameron was in the construction game, the construction industry. He was quite high up in the program manager role, I believe. And this one particular day, they had this meeting with all the heavy hitters, all the managers, all the bosses. And they were all sitting in this meeting together. And Cameron's boss was in one of those moods, was getting heated, and he just unleashed on everybody. He pointed to everyone, he said, I don't trust you. And then he points to Cameron. He says, but you, I trust. You, I trust. Here is someone just seeking to embrace the postures of Jesus, to live a life of integrity, of self-control, of honesty. And this is the kind of influence that he was having in his workplace. Everyone in that meeting was there to hear that he was a follower of Jesus because of the influence he was having on this man's life. You know, this, we need to live our lives the way we want to tell our stories, amen? We need to live our lives in the way we want our stories to be told. Because hear me when I say this, the decisions that you will make in life will impact upon the story you will one day come to tell. Hear that again, the decisions you make now will one day impact upon the story you will come to tell. I'm telling you a story about a man who sought to live a life of honesty, integrity, Christ-like character. And I'm telling you a story today because of the influence he had. What do you want your story to tell? What do you want others to say about you? What do you want others to tell about you? What are the stories you want others to tell about you? These are the stories that come to life when we hold our nerve, when someone cuts you off in line. And you don't abuse them or berate them, but you're compassionate towards them. Is your story going to be one of slapping that cheek or turning the other cheek? Is your story going to be one of being able to stand firm in integrity and honesty when your boss tells you to do something dodgy? It's those who live like this who are going to have the most powerful impact in people's lives. Amen. Embracing the way of Christ, Christ-like living, which comes back to a knowledge of truth. And so how are you using your influence? What is your story telling? Are you using your influence for the greater good or not? For our influence should be about Jesus Christ and nothing else. Amen. It shouldn't be about how big our bank accounts are, how big our status is in society, how big our business is. No, our influence should be geared towards showing people and telling people how big our Jesus is. Amen. Especially when there are people out there who want to use the name of Jesus, as Paul says, for the sake of dishonest gain, but also to distort truth. This is what Paul says in verse 10 to 16, if we go on. For there are many rebellious people, full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group, referring to the Jews. They must be silenced because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. Therefore, rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith, and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the merely human commands of those who reject truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, and this is the key, they claim to know Him, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything that is good. You know, part of our influence in this world, not just for leaders, but this is particularly for leaders, should be geared towards standing up for what is true. Amen. True kingdom impact and influence requires standing up for what is true, because there is people in our world today, even now, as it was in the days of Titus and Crete, that will want to distort truth, that will want to use it so they can be further, not the kingdom of God. That'll want to deceive Christ's church. And for me as a leader in the leadership of our church, we need to stand against that if that comes into this building, into this church community. But I believe there's also an influence, and obviously the onus is on myself and leaders, but I believe there's a collective onus for each and every one of us here today as well. Because there's other passages in scriptures that speak of the body standing up for what is true. 1 John 4 is one of those. How do we know what these people look like? This is what 1 John 4 says. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Notice how he says, he doesn't start by saying, dear pastor or dear leader. It's dear friends. It's a collective. It's all of Christ's church. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. Praise Jesus. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. If you know Jesus, if you know the truth of God's word, you will be able to identify those who speak untruths, those who seek to deceive Christ's church, that to seek to distort Christ's church. Do you therefore collectively know and discern, know how to discern truth? Do you know God's voice? Do you know truth? This is so important, guys, to understand and grasp in the life of this church. And again, why we're going to head in that direction in February when we start our series, The Kingdom Storyline. We're going to identify what is truth, what is God's promises. Truth is ultimately built upon the promises of God. And that's where we're going to head this year. But I vividly remember as we finished up my pastor previously, when I was a student pastor, we got in this debate about predestination, the doctrine of election. It was a deep theological discussion, one we won't go into today. But I remember just coming back to him and saying, look, this is just hard to get your head around. We just need to come back to the basics, surely. Leave the theologians to sort that stuff out. And I remember him just rebuking me in that moment. He said, if you're going to be a leader in God's church, you need to have your head, you need to get your heads around this. You need to understand truth so that you can rebuke those who seek to distort truth. You can stand up and stand against those who seek to deceive Christ's church. So once again, as we finish here today, do you know what truth is? Do you know what true godliness is? Do you know what the faith of knowledge is that rests on the hope of eternal life? When people seek to distort the truth, we need to have our impact and influence known. Amen. Stand up for what is true. Are you doing that in your lives today when people seek to deceive others in your midst about Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word? It is only then and only then that we will come to have the true kingdom impact and influence that God desires us to have. So let's not seek to influence people as these social media influencers do, to influence the world by how they look or in the realms of materialism. Instead, let us use our influence for good, amen. To point people, to lead people in the direction of Jesus Christ, into the knowledge of him which is truth, a truth again which is built on the promises of God, a God who does not lie. And our reward if we do so won't be tens or thousands of dollars for every post we put on social media. Instead, we'll be building up in eternity treasures and riches in heaven. Amen. Nothing can compare to that. Let us pray. Father God, as we reflect on this passage of Titus 1, we again reflect on the importance of what true church leadership looks like. We reflect on the kind of behavior and the characteristics, the virtues that leaders within Christ's church seek to harbor and to take on board if we are to lead effectively. But Lord, I very much believe here today that this passage speaks to each and every one of us, to the influence and the impact that we can have in this world if we seek to obey your word, if we seek to obtain knowledge of truth, which as you say, will lead to godliness, will lead to Christ-like living. And Father God, as we obtain truth, as we understand truth, Lord, help us to discern what is untrue and those who seek to deceive and distort. Father God, I pray for each and every one of us here that we would be empowered today to stand up and to stand against what is untrue in this world and to stand up for what is true. Thank you, Lord, again for your Holy Spirit in our midst. And we pray that you would lead us. Lord, you know we need you. And we pray that you would lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit in this way. So guide us in the coming weeks, Lord, as we dive into the book of Titus. And may our story ultimately be one that pleases you, glorifies you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Well, if you'd like to stand, or you can remain seated just as you allow.